The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Speaking of Macklin, just as we're talking about him, just what are your sort of expectations for him this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's like everyone. You just want to see some growth and some strides in their game in the areas that, you know, he needs to improve on and the coaches have asked him to improve on. So, you know, you just want to see him growth and continue to develop and build his game and continue to get more and more confident in himself and in playing in the league.
Do you think that he can make the Canadian Olympic team?
I think he's got a shot. I mean, it's obviously, you know, a talented country and talented roster, but, you know, wouldn't be surprised special players like him often, you know, find their way onto teams like that.
Can he learn from that experience, though, a couple of weeks ago, being around, you know, even at the World Championships, being line mates with McKinnon and Crosby, and obviously being around guys like McDavid and those guys at Calgary a couple weeks ago?
Yeah, I think, I mean, he's a sponge. You know, he always wants to get better and see what he can do more and pick guys' brains. So, talking to him after World Championships, you know, I think he just loved being around, you know, Sid and Nate and those guys and seeing their routines and what they do and how they attack certain situations and things like that. And then he went to skate with them as well. And so I think he's just a sponge. I think he's learned a lot from those guys. I think he enjoys being around them and seeing their habits and their mindset and you know, things they do on a daily basis and prepare themselves. So, you know, I think it's been great for him. I'm sure he talked to a bunch of guys at their orientation camp, but it's nothing new for him. I think he's been, you know, picking Steph and Draymond's brains for years. So I think that's just kind of how he's wired to always try and get better.
What was your message to the group yesterday, and how was it different maybe from, you know, previous years?
I just think for the most part, it's guys, you know, from our standpoint is just, you know, try and take a step forward as a group and start earning everything, earning respect around the league from, you know, other teams and players and coaches and officials and fan bases and all that stuff. And then, you know, for the group themselves to, you know, the things they want to accomplish individually, or whether that's being in the NHL or being on the power play or the penalty kill, then, you know, just kind of go out there and earn it. I think there's a lot of bodies here. There's good players here. There's a mix of young guys and veterans. So, you know, we had some internal competition last year, but I think it's way more of a factor this year that the talent and the group we have here of the amount of internal competition we have. So guys they want to be here and want certain roles, or, you know, they're just going to have to go out there and earn it.
You mentioned just that. If young guys show they're ready, like even like Mike May said, Dickinson, you know, we're just talking to Ryan, he was really impressed with, you know, with Musty today. You know, if those guys show that they can help his team this year, I mean, would there be any hesitation to maybe put some other guys on waivers, or just, you know, look to trade guys to try to make room for them, or how do you?
Yeah, no, there would be, you know, no hesitation on our part. If those are the best players and the most deserving players to be here, then and we think they can help us win games and they're ready to kind of learn and develop and play in the NHL level, then, you know, that's what the opportunity will give them, and we'll figure out the rest, whether that's, you know, some of those options that you mentioned. We'll figure it out if those guys show that they're ready and deserve to be up here.
Ryan told us that you helped create that earn it slogan that's going through right now. You mentioned the internal competition. Since you've become GM of the Sharks, that's kind of been what you've been bringing. Is this kind of what you envisioned a Sharks training camp to be like, and do you hope to continue this, you know, as this team grows into more of a playoff contending team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, when I think that's how it should be in the NHL or the NBA or NFL, it should be when you come to training camp, you got to earn your spot. And here it's gotten a little bit better every year, you know, from the first year to now. You know, guys had kind of default playing time over the last couple of years, but Last year was better. There was more competition last year, and this year it's, there's even more. So, you know, that's the goal, I think, to keep building it where, you know, you have options and you have people where, you know, to play and get in the lineup is extremely difficult. You know, you look at, you know, Florida's obviously the standard right now, but, you know, they had a player like, you know, Sturmey was here. We all know how, you know, competitive and role player and a solid role player in this league, and Mackie Samuskevich, those guys could not get in the lineup. So those guys are legit, real NHL players, and they couldn't get in the lineup there. So that's the goal, to have a, you know, have a group in that locker room that every day has to push each other and really earn their ice time and earn their spots. So, you know, we got a long way to go to get there, obviously, but that's the goal.
When we spoke in... I know you told us at the end of the last season at Exits about, you know, there's a lot of time to name a captain. We're here now. I mean, is there a plan to? I mean, even if it's not been done yet, but is there a plan to maybe name someone a captain by the start of the season?
I think Warsaw and I are still, we're kind of still working through the leadership group. You know, there's a lot of new faces here as well. So I want to see how some of these guys work, how they interact with their teammates and things like that. So I don't really have anything new to add beyond that for the captaincy, but I think we got some good vets who've won a lot of hockey games, won some Stanley Cups, been on winning teams, so we just want to kind of see how it all mixes and matches and meshes together.
You had said last year that you would be comfortable going another season without, I know Logan was the captain last year, but wasn't around as much, so going another season without a captain, does that still hold true, that if that were to happen, that you have no issue with that?
Yeah, I mean, if that's the case, if we kind of feel like you know, it's not something I want to rush or push. We want to make sure when we make that decision to hand off the captaincy to someone else that, you know, it's something that, you know, we're 100% behind and think it's hopefully something that, you know, lasts for a long time.
Last April, when we talked to you, you mentioned, that the plan at the time was that Will Smith would play center this year. I know a lot has happened since April, so I'm not holding you to that, but can you kind of speak to the decision, though, to kind of put Smith back on the wing for maybe most of this year?
Yeah, Smitty and I talked, I know, you know, throughout the off season, and, you know, I think, you know, he could play, we could put him in the middle tomorrow. He can play center in his sleep, right? He's played it, he's been in the middle since he's 6 years old. So we just kind of thought that to continue to give us the option of him being a winger to keep learning. You know, I think he kind of took off the second half of the year. He got a little bit more and more comfortable on the wing. So, you know, I thought we would just kind of keep him there and keep growing that kind of that tool for him. You know, like it's said, it's been done in the past where that's Patty or Pav or Hurdle, where you always know they can go back in the middle. But to keep kind of growing his game on the wing, you know, last year was the first time he's ever played wing, and we throw him into it in the NHL on top of it. So to give him some more reps there, and obviously he did well, and it just gives us some options there. Him and Mac obviously have really good chemistry together. Gives us some options there and gives us some options in the middle, you know, as far as Mies and Kershaw and stuff like that as well.
Just a question about contracts. You guys are bumping up against the 50. Limit here. There seems to be a question about whether, you know, if Misa and Dickinson are here for the year, does that mean you need to move someone out to stay under 50 or?
I think that's a kind of a bridge we'll cross when we get there. But we'll have to move a contract at some point if both those guys are ready.
Is Chernyshov slide eligible? Is that a deal? I see different.
I'd have to ask, to be honest with you. Joe's the guy on that. Joe's dialed in and all that stuff. I may have to ask him on that.
I want to ask you about another technicality. We've heard contrasting things about this, and maybe you can kind of set the record straight. There was a report that 19-year-old CHL players could play in AHL this year. Possibly, that was a possibility. I know that that's part of next year, like that people think that's going to happen next year, but is that still a conversation for this year, or has it been put to rest that that's not going to happen this year? A guy like Sam Dickinson, he cannot play in AHL full-time this year.
Yeah, that's... you know, I think that whole thing with the CHL and everything is still kind of being worked through, but it's not an option for this year.
Okay. How much would that have been maybe beneficial for Sam, right? That's a guy who is around the team, and having the team here in San Jose, you can bring him up for maybe a little bit, just having that experience rather than maybe go back to juniors where he's won and done just about everything there.
Yeah, I think, you know, you get kind of the rare instance of these guys who've almost accomplished everything they can accomplish at the junior level. So, you know, giving them the next challenge to playing against men would you know, obviously be beneficial. So we'll see where Sam's camp takes him.
Was that something that you guys were pushing for that to happen this year, and kind of why didn't it happen this year when it was, you know, rumored that it could happen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, to be honest, I think that was kind of you guys, like the media, kind of throwing it out that it, once they saw some of the other changes that might happen. I don't think it was ever really seriously discussed for this year.
Mark Edward Vlasic kind of seemed to be pretty upset about how things were handled in terms of his buyout. It didn't seem like that at the time when he talked to us. He said you handled it with a lot of class, but then he came out few weeks ago in Quebec City and kind of said that he wished that things had been handled differently. I'm just curious what your reaction to that was.
Yeah, I mean, I he's a proud guy and proud player, so I kind of get that it probably stings a little bit. I got nothing but respect for Pickles. You know, I enjoyed playing with him. You know, he's obviously a great representative of the organization and everything. So, you know, if he feels slighted or misled, I think, you know, that wasn't ever my intention or our intention. From my standpoint, I'm fine with how I handle it. Our exit meeting, I was pretty kind of upfront with him about where things were from my end. Now, if you talk to someone else, I don't know, but from my end, I feel fine about how we handled it, and then, you know, we gave him a little heads up once we decided that we were gonna go down that path. You know, I had a really good conversation with him and his agent, and kind of explained everything and the reasonings why we decided to go that route. So, you know, like I said, I understand, like, you know, you've been in so successful in this league for a long time and been with one organization and had a great run and been a great player here that, you know, it probably stings a little bit. And I get it. But, you know, at the end of the day, my job is to do what's best for the organization. And, you know, that's the decision, you know, we made. And, you know, I wish him all the best and you know, in his career and in his life after hockey. And, you know, at some point, I'm sure we'd like to get him back here to celebrate him at some point.
Yeah, because he said, you know, he was under the impression anyway after that exit interview that you guys maybe wanted him back. But was that ever said?
I'm not gonna. I don't want to get into a like a he said, she said type situation. I'll just say, like I said, I'm very like happy and fine with how I ended the meeting with him. I thought I was pretty clear about, you know, the possibilities of things. So, yeah. You know, if he kind of mistook, you know, some words from myself or the coaches, and, you know, that was never our intention to not be upfront with him. And to his point, we did appreciate the time and the effort he spent to try and mentor some of our young guys. We were very appreciative of that and the attitude he had throughout, you know, the last couple of years. And even though he's battled injuries the last 2 years, he put the work in and everything. So I appreciate his attitude, and we didn't have any, you know, issues of anything like that. It was just a decision I had to make, what I thought was best in the organization, you know, especially after, you know, you watch Sam tear through the Memorial Cup playoffs and the OHL playoffs, then, you know, we had to have a discussion here and see which path we wanted to go down. And unfortunately, you know, that's the decision we made, but we felt like it was best for the organization.
We were just talking with, we talked with Mario a little bit earlier, and he said that there really hasn't been much discussion about an extension, you know, for him. And obviously, he's the longest tenured Shark now, it seems like. It's kind of weird to say, but You know, I mean, how do you evaluate things in terms of whether or not that's a guy you'd like to keep around, or maybe you know, with if the Sharks aren't in the playoff picture in a few months here, maybe a guy you might want to try to deal to a contender.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, it's just kind of keeping the options open. You know, Mario's someone I got a ton of respect for. You know, he's almost willed himself into being a really good NHL player. Team guy, works his tail off in great condition, so all the time. So I had a ton of respect for him, how he plays the game and how he carries himself. You know, from our standpoint, it's really just keeping options open. It's nothing, you know, against him or anything like that. There's, you know, for the last years, there's been a lot of interest in him throughout the league. And so, you know, I got to see how the season goes, really, and see where it takes us, and see how he plays and all that stuff. So it's, you know, it's kind of fluid, and we'll just kind of see how it goes, and I'll keep in touch with him and keep in touch with his agent, and we'll just kind of see how things go from there.
Yeah, fair to say that goes for pretty much everybody who's like going to be a UFA next year, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to keep tearing the roster down year after year, so, you know, some of these guys, if they play well and they like it here, then and they're a good fit with our group, then, you know, I'm definitely open to bringing some of those guys back and extending them. So, but at the same time, you just never know what's going to come your way if guys play well and other teams call, you know, whether it's, you know, something like Wally or anything like that. When stuff comes up, you know, you just have to, where we are right now, you just have to listen. So just kind of keeping options open, really.
It is day one of camp, but after today, were there things that, like, stuck out to you or surprised you from, like, a person or plays or anything like that?
No, I really liked the pace and the compete and the physicality, actually, of the practice today, I think. Guys went out there, they for first day of camp, I think they really got after it and were physical, and the intensity and the compete level was high. So I was really happy with that, I think. You know, for the group, I think they kind of got the message, and you know, I think they were all excited out there. So I was really, really pleased with the tempo and the pace and the intensity of the of all three sessions.
What makes this group different from past ones?
I think it's a pretty good mix of the kind of the young exuberance of Mac and Will and Sam and some of these other young guys are so excited to be out there and be in an NHL camp and try and make the team and show what they can do. You know, Meese is out there, you know, picking everyone's brain. And Eki, you know, Eki's still a young guy. You could see him. He was buzzing today, and he's excited. And then we have the mix of guys who have won Stanley Cups and had long playoff runs, you know, Orlov and Toph and Revo, some of these guys who have been on long playoff runs and been on really good teams. So I just think it's a good mix in guys, and I think everyone seems to be happy to be here. I guess that would maybe be the main thing. I think from my first year to even last year, I think there's always been guys who have kind of been not looking for the door, but maybe looking for greener pastures a little bit, and this is probably the first year where I don't feel like that. I feel like guys are wanting to be here, excited to be here, wanting to be part of this. And I think they see kind of some of it, see what could possibly be going on with some of the talent of the young guys. And I think it makes people excited. So I would say that's kind of the main difference. I don't think anyone's here is feeling sorry for themselves or trying to go to a better team or something like that. I think everyone here is 100% bought in and happy to be here, and that's you know, a credit to Warsaw and how he's kind of started to build the culture down there.
You guys,
I was gonna say Ryan Clough left pretty suddenly, kind of a little unexpected. Is what went on maybe behind the scenes? Can you share with us? And two, is there a plan maybe to replace it and add somebody else? Because I know you've got already a couple AGMs, but is there maybe a plan to replace Ryan?
Well, Chloe, I mean, it was sudden for you guys, but mm-hmm. Chloe and I had been talking going pr- probably going back to March, how it was a difficult family situation. While you guys probably felt it was sprung on you, there was something that we had been talking about for a while, and then once we kind of got through Dev Camp and he had a chance to really talk to his family again, it was just a situation that was hard. You have to do what's best for your family and your kids and stuff like that. So, unfortunately, it was great having him here, but unfortunately, it's just one of those situations in life where the timing didn't work out for him. So, wish him the best, and I think he's excited to be back home with his kids. And when he does have to go to New York, it's a 2.5-hour flight, not a 6.5-hour flight, right? So. So we'll miss him, but I wish him the best. But like I said, you guys have probably seen sudden, but it was something that, had kind of been going on for a few months. I don't think we'll replace him or his role. I think I'll give some more responsibility to other guys, other people that are here, and let them grow a little bit and learn a little bit. And then we'll kind of, next off season, we'll see if we fill the role or not.
So just to clarify, obviously he's got whatever family situation going on, but was part of the reason why it sounds like his family stayed on the East Coast when he was out here, was that kind of what happened, what kind of broke down to his, he just wanted to be closer to his family?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's Florida. He was, yeah. Okay. I want to ask you about the acquisition of Carey Price's contract. Just how has the landscape changed for acquiring just a contract of that size? Because maybe like 5 years ago, and of course that's 5 years ago, you acquire a contract of that size, maybe you get a first round pick or something like that. Just how has that changed over the years?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's got a little bit more cap space. So I think that's really the main thing with the flat cap. Everyone was just squeezed up against it. So to take a cap hit like that, there would obviously be a pretty high price to do it. So for us, it kind of gave us some cushion for other things down the road, maybe, if we had to make some moves. And also that at the end of the day, the cap it is a cap it, but the cash is pretty low.
You talk about that cushion. Is that in part like, so if you make other trades that you guys are still above the floor kind of?
Yeah, I mean, you never know how the season's going to go, but if things happen, then you're not in a situation where you feel like you got to take a bad contract to do something you want or something like that. So it gives us a little bit of cushion. But the main reason is that with the cap going up, everyone's got a little bit more flexibility.
Is there a hope that that Carey can come in and maybe just be a sounding board or as a veteran, future Hall of Fame goalie? Or is that now the kind of the he was here for his physical, and that's sort of maybe the last we'll see of him?
Yeah, I don't think he'll be around much. I had a really good – I'd never met him before. I had a really nice conversation with him for, 10, 15 minutes, nice guy. And, I think for him, he's still enjoying life with his family and being able to do some things he couldn't do when he was playing. I know he left here and went on a trip with his family and stuff like that. So I think that's kind of the priority for him, is to kind of enjoy his post-hockey life.
Ryan Miller and
those three. Yeah, right, huh? Yeah.
What's success? What's a successful season for the San Jose Sharks?
I mean, I've kind of always said it's just improving. I want to, last year was probably a baby step. But I just want to see us improve in our habits, our details, how we want to play the game. Whether that shows up in points or not, I don't know. But I want to see our players here who've been here improve on the things we asked them to improve on. Young guys, older guys, whatever it may be. It might be something as small as coming in better shape. I just want to see improvement in all the areas we ask these guys to improve on, and then, hopefully our group can take another step and mature a little bit. They went through a lot of tough losses last year, so hopefully that's something our group learned from, and we can turn some of those losses into wins. So just kind of things like that, and improving in the areas that we struggled in. Hopefully we can keep the puck out of our net more, being a more consistent team from night to night. So not necessarily things that may show up in the standings, but not too different than last year, where I thought we were a better team and we improved. The record didn't show it, but hopefully we can do the same, win some more win some more games and kind of clean up some of the areas and show that we learned from some of the mistakes and not handling situations the right way last year.
This is not a year that you're thinking about McKenna and those...
No, not really. I mean, he's a heck of a player, and there's a lot of good players in this draft class, but, you know, that's not... It's not the goal to go to get him or anyone. You know, I'd be, as I told the group last night, I'm thrilled to have Mac and Will and Meese, but I don't need to, we're not picking the top five. I'm okay with that. So it's time to hopefully take a little bit of a step and win a few more games and start kind of pushing our way up the standings, hopefully.
And speaking of the Barracuda, it looks like the team is going to go younger this year. You don't have sort of the Andrew Podorowski, Jimmy Schultz, that kind of caliber of AHL player there. Is that sort of the plan to give guys like potentially, if they don't make the team, guys like Musty and Houghton, like give them a kind of a place where they can really kind of take the load and see if they can take it or not?
Yeah, I think it'll be... a good part of their development, just to give them opportunities. They obviously have to earn it. If they're not playing well or not doing the thing the coaches want, then, you know, we're not just going to hand them over ice time and roles and power play time. But it was definitely that. I think we try to make a conscious effort not to block them, to give them opportunity. You know, Potts, you know, he's a heck of an American League player. So hopefully we can kind of replace some of the scoring by the aggregate. I think we got a lot of really good players, and maybe not the MVP caliber player down there, but the door is open for those young guys to kind of grab some opportunity. And I think responsibility, and especially when you're an offensive guy, how you deal with that opportunity, I think it can really help grow your game, because there's going to be times where you're not scoring and you're struggling, and how are you going to handle that? And at the same time, you know, when your team needs a goal, how do you handle that? Can you be the guy that produces that? And when that happens, I think it really grows and builds confidence. So it's a good opportunity for a lot of those guys, and even the Wahlstroms and Olsons of the world, of kind of looking for second chances. And those guys have been good offensive players before in the past. So I think we have some offense down there, but we'll see how it shakes out. It's not an easy league for young guys either, which I think people kind of forget, even going back to the 19-year-old rule. I think there's only so many 19-year-olds that can handle the American League. It's a tough league of grown men. So, we'll see how they do, but we're excited to kind of watch those guys that are down there and kind of see how they develop.
I'm not sure how involved you are in this, but obviously there's a lot of renovations going on at Sharks Ice. Obviously, there's also the plans for SAP Center. And as the team develops and sort of gets better, we'll also become more attractive to free agents. So is that sort of a kind of a plan that you have talked about with say, Jonathan Becker, that to have this all come together, like the facilities, the practice facilities are first class, the team gets better in the standings, also improving SAP Center at the same time to just make this place more attractive for free agents?
Yeah, for sure. I think, we're fortunate that, you know, Hasso's a great owner and willing to kind of pump his money in here to the practice facility and to SAP. Jonathan's been nothing but supportive and trying to help us kind of, like you said, kind of get caught up a little bit and have this facilities be what, you know, this organization's about and what the players here kind of need and deserve. So it's been great. Yeah, this has been kind of 2 years in the making, this the practice facility, and I think it turned out great. And I think it's definitely, I think going through even the interview process before I got the job, that was, you know, something that, you know, I talked about, and Hasso and Jonathan were on board about having, you know, trying to do everything first class, facilities, how we treat people, everything. And, I got to give a lot of credit, like I said, to Hasso and Jonathan for providing us with money and the opportunity to do this here. And, Richard at the building put up a ton of work and time and effort to make sure was ready for the start of camp. So it's a great first step. The players, I think if you talk to them, the players are excited. They got everything they need here. And, you know, I think it just kind of, I guess, so happens that it hopefully will dovetail with the team getting better, you know, having this facility. And then, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road, whatever that may be, redoing SAP in the locker room and everything there. So as the team kind of grows and becomes what we want it to be, we'll have, you know, we'll have a first class and first rate locker room on game days, and guys can come here and hang out in a pretty cool practice facility as well.
I just got to call the governor and do something about the state taxes. Right?
Yeah, that's it. No big deal. No big deal, yeah. No big deal. But hey, guys, if we become what we hope we and think we can become, guys are going to want to come play here. It's a great place to play. We got a great fan base. The weather's great. Not yet in the practice facilities. Great coach to play for. Great young talent here. You know, like I said, if we do what we think we're going to do here and become what we, I don't think we'll be fine. I think people want to play here even without the benefits of Florida.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.